Welcome to the Majus Pod, brought to you by Saints Peter and Paul Jesuit Church, a diverse Catholic community located in the oldest church building in the heart of downtown Detroit. For the links to the readings, check the show notes. This week, we're replaying a homily from our archive.
Some of our regulars are not here this morning, but that's because I spent the weekend with 15 of our young adults on a retreat to begin our Ignatian Young Adult Leadership Program, where we strive to help people put together an in-depth exposure to Ignatian spirituality together with their sense of mission and purpose in their careers, their families, their workplace. Wonderful experience. I just feel so blessed we have some outstanding young adults that have joined us here and are seeking that in-depth spirituality for their lives. But because the focus of the weekend was on leadership, of course, when I came to the gospel, that's what I saw in it. But it's certainly a lesson about leadership. You know, you could see the disciples there arguing among themselves in a typical human way about who's the greatest and who's number one. And Jesus has to tell them, no, that's not my way. That's not my style of leadership. And he gives us some lessons about that leadership. However, as I was pondering, speaking about leadership with you, I thought, wait a minute. Most of them are going to sit there and say, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm not in leadership, right? You know, how many of you are in a managerial position at your work, so forth? Well, I'm not in leadership. But let me tell you about a man named Chris Lowney, who was a Jesuit seminarian for a few years early in his life. He tried it out, didn't stay, left the seminary, and then had a long career in banking and was quite successful, rose to the top of Morgan Chase, was managing, I think, their London office and then their office in Singapore. So, you know, he was really up there. But he never lost touch with his Ignatian spirituality roots, and he brought that to bear on his leadership in his workplace. And when he retired at a fairly young age, he wrote a book about, for a secular audience, about how Ignatian spirituality makes for really great leaders. And he called his book Heroic Leadership. And he went on to help found this young adult leadership program that we were on this weekend out on the East Coast, New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore. It's gradually spread to 8 other cities in the country. But after he wrote Heroic Leadership, he said, well, people are not paying attention to this because they think they're not leaders. So he wrote another book. And that book is called Everyone Leads. Everyone Leads. And what he's trying to bring out is that we may not be in a formal position of leadership, but as followers of Jesus, really, not just as followers of Jesus, just as human beings, fully alive, each and every one of us is a person who influences others. And that's what leadership is about. How do we present ourselves in the human community in a way that influences other people? And if you think you don't want to be an influencer, you just want to hide in a corner and read your book, guess what? You're influencing other people by doing that and by not showing up with the gifts that you have to give and the contribution you have to make. So stop and think about it. Each and every one of us sitting here today, you have an influence on the other people in the circle of your life. And in that sense, you're a leader. You're influencing them. And how do we follow the ways of Jesus? How do we follow the ways of St. Ignatius of Loyola to lead in a way that really gives life to other people and draws on the life of the Spirit that Jesus has given us? So let's reflect on that this morning, how each one of us is a person of influence in our circle, in our lives. And of course, the first thing we hear in the gospel, let's set this in context, the passage that comes before this one that we heard is that Jesus has taken his chosen few up the mountain and his glory has been revealed to them. But then he has to kind of sober that glory with the message of the cross. And so he's taking time to teach them here about the suffering that he's going to face, that he's going to be handed over, he'll be killed, he'll rise again. And that's the note that we hear in the first reading today from the prophet, I guess it's the Book of Wisdom, isn't it? Yes, Wisdom, a kind of poem about how good people, good leaders, people who are trying to exercise a good influence, meet opposition. That's part of the package of life. When you try to do good, guess what? You're going to run into opposition and resistance. It's the nature of our fallen human condition. And that resistance can sometimes be very fierce. And it can lead to us feeling rejected, maybe even persecuted. And of course, in an ultimate situation, it might cost someone their lives. Now, I have to admit, this isn't a very cheery message, a way to begin a talk about leadership, is it? You know, if you're going to be a person of influence, you're going to suffer. But let me set that aside for a moment. We'll come back to it later and go on to the next point in the gospel, because when we come back, it may make more sense. So the second thing that happens here is Jesus has this conversation with his disciples. He's overhearing them quibble among themselves about who is the greatest, and says, no. In my leadership camp, whoever wants to be the greatest, whoever wants to be first, is the last of all and the servant of all. Now, in his culture, this is an absolutely preposterous statement. You know, the Middle Eastern culture was then, and is still today in many ways, an honor-based culture, anthropologists tell us. So your status was extremely important. That's how you knew who you were and how you had your place in life. And, you know, there were landowners who were very wealthy, the elites in the temple service in Jerusalem, the vast majority of farming people. And then there were the servant class, you know, and they were the lowest ones. And they had the least honor. So when Jesus says to people who are just arguing about which one was the greatest, you need to be the servant of all. Oh my gosh, that would have been unthinkable. It's saying, like, who in their right mind would give up the honor and status that they have to take a lower place? So it's a very challenging message in his culture. But I think it still applies to us today. I think it's deeply ingrained in us, in modern society and modern culture, that we should be number one. I think about watching the Olympics recently, and you know how that goes. You know, there's this big focus on number one, two, and three, the bronze, the silver, the gold, you know. And sometimes the people who are in fourth place, they're off by, you know, like 9/100ths of a second from the person ahead of them. But that doesn't count. We forget all about them because they were only 9/100ths of a second off from being famous. You know, we've got this big emphasis, you got to be number one. I just read something that was very striking, a little news article about the culture in Japan. Now, Japan is a very competitive culture, and it's very competitive for children to achieve in the arts and music, for instance, but especially to achieve academically. And they're sorted out early in life who's going to succeed and get a good job and so forth and a good education according to how they perform in school, early in their lives. So it creates a lot of pressures. Well, finally, this has gotten to a breaking point. And the news article I was reading is that the Japanese government has passed a law now that you may not administer exams to children 6 years older or younger. Can you imagine? So it's like they're realizing this is creating such a toxic environment. They're only 5- and 6-year-old kids, and they're already caught in this culture that they have to be number one, they have to succeed, they have to be great, and puts all this pressure on them, and they're just tiny little kids. I think about a story that illustrates how you may think, well, this isn't in us, but it is. It's deeply ingrained in us, in our culture. I think about a story that I heard when I was in Africa as a younger Jesuit. There was a sister there from the United States who had been assigned there as a missionary, and she was new, and she was working in a grade school, a Catholic grade school there. And so she was in charge, had the children out for recess, and was overseeing the playground. She said, let's have a race. You know, and the kids, this was not really a concept to them, what a race is. So she explained, okay, here's this line we're going to put in the dirt. This is the starting line. And then they walked a long ways away, and they put another line. This is the finish line. So everybody starts here at the starting line, and you run as fast as you can, and whoever crosses the finish line first is the winner, okay? So the kids all said, yeah, we got it. And they all lined up at the finish line. And she said, you know, 3, 2, 1, go. And they all took off running. And, you know, some kids obviously were faster than others, and they got to the finish line first. But as they approached the finish line, they all slowed down. And they just stood there and waited for everyone to catch up. And then they all went over the finish line together. And she went to the kids and said, no, no, you don't get it. The idea is you're supposed to run as fast as you can so you can be the winner. And the kids said to her, but that wouldn't be any fun if we didn't go all together over the finish line. It wouldn't be any fun. There would be no joy in it. Wow. Shows you a different culture, doesn't it, from the way we think and the way it's ingrained in us. So I think Jesus' message is very pertinent to us in our own lives. I see it in myself. We all have these subtle pressures in us to achieve, to be number one, and that can poison the kind of influence, the way we exert influence on others around us in our lives, even if it's just our family members. You know, God knows, we can try to be one up in our own family. I even see it as a priest, you know, with the declining number of people in the pews in general. That's not happening here at our parish, but in many Catholic parishes, the numbers are going down. There's way too many churches in the downtown area, and I can't help it. There are days when I see that competitive thing, like, we got to be number one. We got to beat the competition over there at St. Al's or St. Mary's in Greektown, you know. We got to get more parishioners than they have. You know, it just comes up in us, huh? So Jesus is saying, no, no, no. You really want to influence people in your life, you take a position of being their servant. And what does that mean for us? It means we're really attending not to our leadership and our greatness, but on the real needs of other people around us. You know, what does a servant do? A servant, you know, attends to the needs of someone else. They do what someone else asks of them. So that what we have to do is really attend to the needs of the people around us. What are their real needs? And we respond to those, not out of a sense of, well, we've got it all, and we're going to tell someone else what to do or how to live their life. And isn't this so needed in the church today? I think Pope Francis keeps talking about this. You know, we're not here to tell other people. The church isn't here to tell people how to behave and live their lives, but to be a servant church that responds to the needs. And when people see that in us as disciples, then they're moved to inquire about faith and about this life and about this way and about this Jesus that we follow. So let's go on. After Jesus has given them this little speech about being servants, then something happens that doesn't quite follow exactly, does it? He takes this little child and puts it in their midst and puts his arm around the child, a very endearing gesture. And in some of the other Gospels, this story has a version where he says, unless you become like this little child. But that's not how Mark has it. Mark says, whoever welcomes and receives a child like this receives me, and not only receives me, but receives the Holy One who sent me. Well, how does that follow from this talk about not being the greatest and being a servant? Well, I think Jesus is getting at the roots of things here and saying it's about recognizing the dignity and worth of every person around us. So again, in his culture, children had no social status whatsoever. They were even lower than servants. You were kind of a non-person in Jewish society until you became a teenager, really till you got to your reproductive years. Then you were considered a full human being, and then you would be married and you would be established as having a role in society. But as long as you were pre-puberty, you were non-existent. You had no rights, you had no status. Forget helicopter parenting, it did not exist back then, believe me. So what he's saying is, receive this child who, in your mind, has no status, no value whatsoever. If you receive this child, you receive me. And I am the, he doesn't say this here, I am the Christ. I'm the anointed one. I'm the paradigm of what it is to be a full human being, alive with the Spirit of God. And if you receive me, you receive the Creator of us all, the Holy One, behind the scenes, behind every person that exists. So what he's pointing to here is the profound dignity and worth of every human life. And that's where our influence really begins. If we really want to influence others for good, it begins with recognizing who they really are and their dignity, their worth, their potential. The fact that they are a child of God just like I am. So if we replay this little film backwards, I think it makes even more sense to us. That's where, you might say, our leadership journey begins. That's where our ability to influence people truly in the Spirit, in God's way, begins, in recognizing that we're brothers and sisters, recognizing that we're equals before God. And if we can do that, then it's not so hard to take that position of being a servant. When I recognize the worth of the other person, then I'm going to say, what do you need? You know better what you need than I do. How can I serve? How can I be of assistance to support your life and the full flourishing of your life? That's real love. That's the love that Jesus teaches us to lay down our lives for one another. And if we can be servants like that, then we can go back to where the gospel started and the first reading started today. It's not so hard to see that we might be willing to suffer. Chris Lowney, that author that I mentioned, says that this is one of the characteristics of great leaders, that they're willing to suffer for the people in their care. Another great leadership guru in the business world and secular world, Pat Lencioni, some of you may have heard of his famous book a few years ago, The Five Dysfunctions of a Leadership Team. He says this too, that this is most of the leaders in business and industry who are not good leaders. It's because they don't get this. They're there for the wrong reason. They think it's about them. They've made it. They're number one. And everybody now serves me and does what I say. He says they've got leadership completely backwards. It's about coming to this place where I can say, I'm going to have to suffer. Because if I'm going to really lead people and influence for the good, I'm going to meet all kinds of resistance and pushback and hardship. And I've got to be willing to suffer that for the good of the whole, for the good of our community, to really bring forth that profound worth that each person has. Not by imposing my will on them, but by seeing their dignity and worth and serving their needs and drawing out their giftedness and the gifts that God has given them to bring, to contribute to our human community. I'd like to invite you in our, we're about to go into our prayers in a minute here. Let's pray for our 15 young adults who are already, many of them, in leadership positions, but are embarking on this journey to really become followers of Jesus in his way of influencing people, of bringing something good into the world, of having a sense of purpose and meaning in their lives. Let's pray for them. But let's pray for each of us, wherever we live, whatever our circumstances are, that we come to see that Jesus wants us to be able to influence one another for good by receiving him in the other, by becoming a servant, and by being willing to lay down our lives so that our friends might live.
As always, thank you for listening. To learn more about the community at Saints Peter and Paul Jesuit, check out our website, sspjesuit.org, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Links for all three can be found in the show notes. Until next time, be well and God bless.